Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be with everyone tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. The price has been lowered to $1.50. All right, so if you did lose a ring, just as a reminder, that one was found out in the parking lot. And so if you've been hunting one, it's sitting right up here, and you are welcome to come get it after services. Tonight we want to continue our study looking at the apostles as we follow in the steps of Jesus. This morning we talked about the apostles and how the success of our Lord's mission, especially once He ascended, hinged largely on these men that He selected. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, you can be turning to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 is where we're going to be for the remainder of the evening as we look at these men. We said that there were 6 points in all that we wanted to notice. This morning we noticed 2 of those points. We noticed the apostles selected. And we talked about in that section how we see from Jesus here the importance of prayer. And we talked about how Jesus took ordinary men and made them extraordinary. We moved from that to the apostles commissioned. And we noticed basically the mission that Jesus set them out on. We looked at the limited commission, which was when He sent them out to the Jews only. And then we looked at the great commission, which was, of course, when He sent them out to everyone. And that brings us to our third point tonight. As they were sent out on these commissions, we see the apostles instructed. Jesus didn't send the apostles out for the limited commission without giving them some instructions as to what they were to do. And in Matthew chapter 10, in verses 9 through 15, He says to them, "Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor 2 tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Now, we see a parallel account of this in Luke 9, verses 1 through 6. Jesus, as He instructs His apostles, He tells them they were not to be concerned with the physical things. You look at all of that instruction that He gave and all the things He told them not to worry about, those things were concerning the physical life. Well, why is He telling them not to worry about those things? Well, because they had been selected. Because they had a mission. Because it was important for them to keep first things first. They were to focus on the mission at hand. They were not to concern themselves with all these other things that were surrounding them. And brethren, the same is true for us today. If we are going to be successful in carrying out our Lord's mission, we have to have the proper priorities. You know Matthew 6:33 as well as I do. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You go back up in the text and we see what these things are. He's talking about those necessities of life. Food, clothing, shelter, all those things that we need. Jesus says, you'll have those things if you keep first things first. The old saying, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. Well, friends, the main thing is Jesus. And if we'll keep Him and serving Him front and center, then everything else will fall into place. Jesus gave them instructions. Friends, He's given us instructions. We have them right here. 2 Peter 1:3, Peter writes, "As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." We've been selected. We have a mission. We have our marching instructions. And that brings us to our fourth point, and that's where we see the apostles forewarned. Back in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 16 through verse 28, Jesus gives a warning to the apostles on this mission they're about to set out on. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in the city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus warned his apostles that the mission they were being set out on wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't going to be without costs. In fact, history records that the apostles were severely persecuted. We read some of that in the Bible. We read especially of what Paul went through. But history records that all of them suffered in similar ways. In fact, history records that all of them were killed, with the exception of John. And of course, John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. All of these men gave their lives for the cause of Christ. Jesus told them that this would happen. That persecution would come, that difficulties would come, and through all of that they needed to remain faithful. And brethren, the same is true for us today. In Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus is closing out the section of the Beatitudes, he said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I've always liked that last statement by Jesus. In essence, he's saying, you're in good company. The prophets were persecuted. The apostles were persecuted. And if we are faithful, brethren, we're going to face that. 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul tells Timothy, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Notice he doesn't say shall, he doesn't say may, he doesn't speak of it as if it's something that might happen, but he says that they will suffer persecution. Well, brethren, if we realize that we have been chosen, if we have the right priorities, if we focus on our mission, if we follow the instructions, then we can overcome the persecution. Number 5, we have the apostles encouraged. Jesus understood that the apostles may become discouraged. I mean, you think about the section we just read. If you were looking at a job description, you might look at that job description and be like, you know what? I think I'll check on another job. And so Jesus doesn't just tell, hey, here's all the bad things that would happen. Good luck. No, he wants to encourage them as well. It can be difficult when we're striving to teach someone and they don't want to listen to it. They reject it. Or maybe someone who we have taught, who responded, who obeyed the gospel, but then they turn away from it. Thus, Jesus encouraged the apostles. In verses 29 through 31, he said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Jesus encourages the apostles by telling them, hey, you're important. The mission is important, and what you're doing is important, and God cares for you. He said, if God cares for the animals, the sparrows, how much more you? Think about what he says here. The very hairs of your head are numbered. I don't know how many hairs are on my head. I have no desire to even. I know that there are fewer on my head than there were 10 years ago, but I don't know how many hairs are there. It seems like every time I shower, there are a few less. But God knows that number. It's amazing to think about. In Hebrews 13:5, the Hebrew writer said, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Brethren, it should be encouraging to know, hey, God's on our side. 1 Peter 5:7, Peter wrote, "Casting all your care upon him, for he," God, the Father, the creator of this world, "he cares for you." What a beautiful thought. Me so small in the grand scheme of things, but yet so important in the eyes of God. That's what Jesus told the apostles to encourage them. And brethren, it should be something that encourages us as well. Sixth and finally, let's notice the apostles' reward. You know, the apostles did not do all that they did for the Lord, even to the point of sacrificing their lives for nothing. They had a reward that was awaiting them. If you continue there in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven." Now, oftentimes we go to this passage and we use it in talking about the confession that we make before we're baptized, that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I don't have an issue with that. But sticking it back in its context, I think it has even more meaning. Because here we have him, he's talking to these followers of his. These followers that he's about to send out. He's instructed them on what they're to do. He's warned them of the dangers. He's encouraged them by letting them know that God is with them. And then he tells them, hey, here's the deal. You confess me before men, and I'm going to confess you before my Father. And these men that went out, they lived a life that daily confessed that Jesus was the Christ. It wasn't just about what came out of their mouths, but it was what was seen through their life. They lived a life that screamed, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Because of their faithfulness, they had the reward of heaven. And brethren, we have that same reward presented to us. If we live a life that says Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Hebrew writer gives all of these examples of people who endured difficulties, who were faithful to God, and who received a reward. And then in chapter 12, he gives us the ultimate example of that, Jesus the Christ. Notice, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured those things, and he too received his reward. And brethren, if we'll do the same, we too will receive ours. The apostles played an important role in the life and the work of our Lord. And while, as I said this morning, we are not apostles today, like them, though, we have been selected. We have been commissioned. We have been instructed and forewarned. We have been encouraged. And just like them, if we are faithful, we will be rewarded. Are you following him this evening? Friend, if you're not a Christian, you could change that tonight. As the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders you from being baptized?" I realize many of you have done that. Friend, are you on mission? If not, why not make a change? Let's love God. Let's love each other. And let's go home. Need to respond to heaven's invitation? We'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.